This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the foam marble table, as always, Rashawn Taylor.
What up, though?
And across the glass, Jordan Schultz.
I think I'm 1-for-10 in sports bets for the NCAA tournament. It's been a pretty rough one for me. But hey, happy Sunday, guys.
Yeah, happy Sunday indeed.
Yeah, great Sunday, Jordan.
Yeah, woo! Right,
I'm ruining my life, but I'm having a good time doing it.
1-800 gamblers. No, I'm fine. It's like we're talking $70 of a loss here, but it's not fun. It's a fleeting
ruin. Cool. Right?
Never cool to lose $70, though. Just being honest, if you just drop $70 on the street,
you're not
pretty
wrong.
Pissed. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Thursday and Friday, 1080 The Fan was up at A-Lane. Great little time up there on Friday.
Got to play some blackjack on Thursday with Cooley.
Yeah, it was Odyssey Portland. Took a little bus from here to there on Friday.
I always feel so bad I can never make it.
Yeah, I don't know if you see the emails. You're all. I don't know if actually Cooley even sent out an email.
There
about
was
that,
no.
But,
I didn't see anything. An email. There was no bracket this year. I mean, we got people busy.
Oh yeah, we did no office bracket this year. Well, Cooley ran that last year and. He now has a few more responsibilities.
Point of transition. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, he had a couple more things to do. But, we were up at Fan Madness up at A-Lane on Friday.
Which is always a good time.
Yeah. Being at a sports book during one of the biggest events, I feel like March Madness is probably the best sports book event.
Hell yeah.
I think you want to be there. You know, there are some events like Super Bowl.
That's a one-off thing, though. March Madness, you get you can squeeze a few days out of that.
Yeah, I mean, like Thursday, Friday, the initial madness itself. Oh, I mean, that's the best days, I think, to be out there.
Nothing.
I mean, outside of, I mean, like, what other sporting event? It's like, oh, dude, we got to get to the sports book for that. Bro,
I got
to put a ticket in.
It's one-off events. If there's anything, like if they have a fight or something like that, you know, like, that's a big fight, you know, something noteworthy. Kentucky Derby is always one of the ones that are really good. If you're
Come on, Biscuit!
So we talk about Circa, and we talked about Stadium Swim, and I got a chance to see the Kentucky Derby there, like, when I went to Vegas for my 40th
birthday.
Oh, at
Stadium Swim?
And so I got a chance to be there, and you can place a bet there and everything like that.
Run!
So it was pretty cool to, like, you know, everybody's chilling, then all of a sudden everybody's attention just... right there for that, like, 13 seconds.
What's,
like,
the line about the Kentucky Derby? The
best 13 seconds in, or something
of your life?
Something along those lines.
I've heard that a lot.
I don't even know if it's 13
former
seconds.
Former girlfriends.
Yeah.
Coming around the corner! weirdest names.
Have you ever been to a Kentucky Derby party?
Oh, no. There's one in Newburgh that I wanted to go to last year out at a distillery out there. And they do, it's a bourbon distillery.
Oh,
and
that's
so
nice.
They do.
So no mint jubiles there.
Mint juleps?
Well, juleps, excuse me. Yeah.
Jubiles.
Juleps, yeah.
Some jubilee.
Yeah.
Mint juleps, yes, are being had there. And they have a hat contest. I think I brought this up last year, is that they have a Kentucky Derby winning horse out there sometimes for people to, like, you know, ooh. Oh, look, hey, there's Giacomo.
That's pretty tight.
I'm sure they know what they're doing. They're just sitting there looking at people.
Well, and I was trying to figure out last year if there's a way somehow that I could get some of Giacomo's, you know,
oh, boys.
Lineage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I could start my own line of studs.
Hey, man, you gotta. That's big money, though. You gotta really have.
I was gonna say, like millions.
Yeah, you gotta have billions type money to be in the racing business.
They're creepy.
Well, I think that's a great start right there.
Yeah, seriously. You get a little out of man juice. And
hey,
make your own. You know,
I got a little vial of Giacomo here.
Did you really?
Any interested takers?
Do you really look into that? Because it is a creepy. It's like.
Did I look into sneaking and stealing?
No, not stealing it, but buying it. It is about 1,000 times weirder than, like, you think.
Wait,
the art world's weird.
Can you actually buy the stuff without buying the horse?
Yes, but it is literally millions.
Yeah.
Or hundreds of thousands. It's a crazy penny.
I thought you just... Oh, I guess that's what they do, though. They'll, like, pay the trainer or whoever owns the horse and be like, hey, throw him in a trailer and drive out to, you know, Tennessee.
Is there a weirder job than the person that has to
horse
get
breeding?
The specimen for horse breeding or, like, bull breeding? Is there a weirder job?
Oh, like, do it themselves or, like,
the actual, like, where do you apply for that? Like, is that just something that because you breed the horses or you raise the bulls, like you do it on your own? Like, I'm saying, like, that's a weird job to have.
I think you were born on the farm, frankly.
Yeah, I think you're a horse person for a while, and you just know how to do that. And then
Mama taught you, and then, you teach your kid.
Hey, I got a guy down in Alabama, one of the best horse breeders I've ever met, all right? He'll get you taken care of.
That's not a part of the job I want to do.
Tom Hanks today?
It's not a part of the job I want to do.
Now, listen here.
I agree with you, Rashad.
Fastest 2 minutes in sports.
You couldn't
fastest
pay me that.
2 minutes in sports.
Okay. But yeah, there's a party at this distillery. I wanted to go last year, and luckily I didn't, because it was pissing rain the day of the Kentucky Derby, too. So everybody that was out there got rained on, and their fancy hats got soaked.
Yeah, that's never the best. If you go to a Kentucky Derby party in Portland, make sure it's inside. Like, I mean, because it's this weather here, you never know. You can look outside, and it's beautiful for a second, and then all of a sudden these clouds come and completely ruin your day. So I understand. But, Kentucky Derby falls around my birthday every year. And so I'm like, I always want to have a Kentucky Derby like party, you know, something about the obnoxious hats and kind of loud suits and stuff like that have always kind of been fun to me. I care less about horse racing or the Derby or the Preakness or any of that stuff.
It's kind of like this week, people caring about March Madness and
Nobody
college
cares.
Basketball.
Nobody cares.
No one's watched throughout the entire year.
I'm a Creighton fan now. I've been watching Kalkbrenner all year. No, you haven't.
I mean, I guess the one thing about college is kind of tight is, you know, that's definitely tight is this part of the year, these 60, you know, four teams, they get to really rep their schools. Like these, all these, you know, whether if you make the tournament, like that's huge, you know, just to be able to be at the dance. So even if you're a 16 or you're playing in the first four or whatever the case is, like all that attention on your small program, if that's the case, like that's huge. That exposure piece for you. Cause there's, I'm looking at names in the program now. I'm like, who? McNeese, like what?
Oh, I feel like there's that? Yeah, 2 to 4 schools a year where I'm just like, you just made that up. You aren't real.
But all of a sudden, you want them to do well. There's something about the team was like, man, it'd be nice to see you win. Like
sure.
That would be pretty cool. Like if you won, I know nothing about you and don't know where you are, Drake. You know, or you know, for a long time didn't know where Creighton was. Like, what is that? Where
like
is
Lipscomb?
That?
I have no idea that existed as a school, but yeah. they are real.
High Point University, that
High
was
Point
one of
has
them.
Another one, yeah.
Thank you.
Apparently, High Point University has a sick campus. There's pools everywhere. I don't know if it's like swimmable pools, but I think it's in one of the Carolinas. If I'm not mistaken.
I mean, the fact that Grand Canyon University, which I'm pretty sure is mostly an online school, has a college basketball team now, like, that's pretty nuts.
That's pretty awesome. Online schools, yeah.
High Point is in North Carolina.
I'm going to jump on DeVry's team. I think I still got some eligibility.
Well, I was looking up, like, Liberty's numbers the other day, and it's like they have 21,000 on-campus students, I want to say, but 80,000 online students.
Gotcha.
That's okay. Crazy. Like, Western Oregon has, like, 7, 8. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's not a lot of people, probably more than that, but I don't know. Western Oregon's not a big, big school.
Let's see here. Oh, I'm looking up Grand Canyon University. Yeah, but 100,000 students enrolled online and in person.
That's crazy.
And then, I'm pretty sure that it's somewhat same numbers for the Fightin' Jerry Falwells of Liberty.
Where was the online degree when we were in school?
Oh,
like, what the hell?
There, it was that one dude who was yelling at you on the commercial. Was that Everest College?
Oh, my gosh, man.
You're sitting there on your couch doing nothing. That. Why don't you do something with your life?
Smoking
sign
that
up
trash
for Everest
weed,
College.
Sitting there just doing nothing about to
watching the Maury Show.
Wait,
bro, always yes. Don't shame me because I'm at home watching Maury right now at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Don't.
Like, I'm living my best life, sir.
Whoa.
All right.
Remember the college? It was on the top floor of the Lloyd Center. Look how far
Apollo
your mind
College
can take.
I actually, you want to hear something funny?
With Apollo College,
I went to Apollo College.
Hell yeah.
So I honestly, that's where I met my son's mom, was at Apollo College, you know, when we both went there. So I worked for Freightliner when I moved back from Las Vegas for about a year. And within that year, they decided we're going to close down this shop. So we're not going to do that. So we're going to give people money to go back to school or do whatever. I'm like, great, you know, go back and finish my degree and I'll, you know, go do that part. And they're like, whoa, 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 we're thinking more like a trade school, like International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers or something like that.
Is that a real
thing?
I
was like, what?
International
Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Yeah,
yes,
IBEW.
IBEW.
Yeah.
What's up, brother?
Electrician brother?
There's
no,
a NECA IBU, the NECA IBEW, the local Electrical
IBU.
Brothers.
Yeah, yes. So, no, seriously, they're
dead serious.
They're deep, and that's where they, you know, if you're going to want to be an electrician or if you're, you know, in the business or something like that, they kind of, it's like they're, what's the word I'm looking for? The union, or
yeah,
you know,
it's a unionized.
So, sorry, I took your story away.
No, but that's what. But they were kind of like, we want you to kind of go more that way. And I was sitting there, I was like, I don't want to do that. But I was really bored. I was getting like an unemployment check that was pretty nice every week, but I was still super, super bored. It's like, man, I want something to do. Let's just go.
You're sitting on your couch,
not doing nothing. He was right. Like it was right. He got me that day. Like all of a sudden, he was right. And
guilty.
I was like, I had to get up and do something. And so I got up and just went to go get some information from a bunch of different places. Went there and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, learned about pharmacy and pharmacy tech and got my license in that just cause. Like, and then didn't do it. I went and worked in the pharmacy for like 3 weeks, and then I was like, yeah, I don't like this, man. And only because, like, knowing the system and learning about insurance and all that stuff like that, you know what kind of, it's kind of shady, super shady. And so I'm seeing, like, old people come in that have absolutely, they're all, the term is fixed income. Like, I only have, like, a little bit of money, can't do this, and tell them their pills are, like, $600. and knowing they can't pay that and knowing that they need this stuff, it sucked. So
don't blame Rashad Taylor. Blame America, okay?
No, it was one of them things.
Blame the system, brother.
It wouldn't be like they were blaming you. Some of them would be super pissed at you, but it was like, I understand why you're mad. Yeah. Like, and honestly, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm going to tell you to go through this process and do this and call them and tell them this and give them this number. We know it's not going to work, though. So
you should have just had that guy from the commercials on call. So if the patient or whoever ever got mad at you guys, you're like, you know what? Talk to this guy.
We've never seen that dude ever again either. So, you know, Everest closed. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Congrats to him for booking the commercial.
Yeah, he lives in infamy. That dude, you know, forever.
Oh, he's selling insurance.
So shout out to him, because I guess it kind of worked. You know, between him and those Apollo College commercials, damn, they hooked me.
Apollo, Everest, DeVry,
yeah.
Didn't ITT Tech close?
Yeah,
they did.
They thankfully nurses, because this was like the only legitimate program allegedly they were running. Nurses got to go finish, I think, either at Concordia or a local school. Helped nurses go finish their degree that were like pretty close to getting it done. But
my cousin,
a lot of people
actually
got screwed.
Yeah, they did. My cousin actually did the tech part of it and everything, and did pretty well afterwards after he got out. So I know it worked. The programs actually, if they have their, sounds crazy, the stupid jingles, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, like,
ITT was real.
They're pretty legit.
The rest were.
Le Cordon Bleu.
Well, that one, if you wanted to go be a chef.
The chef.
You ever been to dinner there or something like that? They used to serve like you can make a reservation and go have like a 4-course meal with all the students that were cooking and stuff like that. So
what?
it was dope.
The fact that they called it Le Cordon Bleu though made people think that it was associated with the real school of Cordon Bleu.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah.
I thought they were just trying to make it sound like fancier than it actually was, which technically that's what they were doing.
That's exactly what. No, they were trying to associate themselves. It's like you.
It kind of worked.
Saying that you're
Le Cordon Bleu.
You're like trying to copy like the Bellagio's name and say, oh yeah, I'm loosely associated with the casino. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of casinos, I want to get into that a little bit more because Rashad might be familiar with what I want to talk about, being that he lived in Vegas for a while, and then get into some of the madness of college basketball. Do some NFL stuff, and we'll see how far the show will take us. On Sports Sunday. That should be made into the song, right?
Yeah. Or
mark that right there. Beautiful. Let's get into it. My observations from a Friday at A&A for Fan Madness. Get into that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
During the break, I went back and watched that Everest College commercial. God, that guy is really not happy with you.
Yeah, he really wasn't, man. I think he's mad that he had to go to school and we got to chill.
He's just pissed. Yeah. Look, I'm happy. Why are you asking?
Get to be home and I got to be here? Like, come on. Yeah. Come over here, too.
The look of disgust at the end of it, just he's like.
It's easy.
It's easy.
He walked away like, moron.
How far the show will take us. A Hans Bohort Sunday.
That's it. Beautiful. That's the one.
Just beautiful. So Friday, as mentioned in the first segment, went up to A&A. Did not place any sports tickets. The cheese curd showed up and I got distracted, you know.
That's usually how it goes. Fried cheese curds,
some tachos show up in front of me. I don't think I'm going to get to the booth to place a ticket. So no sports betting. Did some blackjack, did well. And I don't know about you, Rashad. I find the casino life, like casino guy, a very interesting lifestyle choice. Like up at A&A, they have, you know, the restaurants, but then they have a food cart or food court like plaza area. Cart. Yeah, the court, rather.
It's got like three or four options. Cheaper, fair.
Yes, yes. So like I went there before we left, and then I like saw just one guy in there, you know, sitting down, eating his burger or pizza or whatever the hell he was doing. But I mean, it was just by himself. And I understand, like, being there for March Madness, but I just felt, I was like, what a lifestyle. Like, that you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to the casino by myself. Just, you know, go to the food court, watch a couple games, hit the tables for a bit. And just, you know, that's what I like to do to kill time. I said, and it just kind of blew my mind, I guess. Hey, if you're a single male and you're near the Ridgefield, A&A area, do you, boo-boo. But it was very, it was an observation I made where I was like, man, that is a life that I am not familiar with, where it's like going to the casino just by yourself and going to stack at the food court.
It seems like a team sport, right? You go to the casino, yes. And that's something we do together. Like, I don't think I've ever been, unless I'm going to a restaurant or I'm going to meet someone, like, I've never gone to a casino just alone. I guess there are some reasons to, like, do it, like, Maybe the guy is having a bad day, you know, or some stuff and just needed to blow off some steam or didn't want to, maybe something happened. Maybe if he was older gentleman.
Younger.
Probably.
Like younger. Probably around your age, I would say.
Okay.
Because you're about, then, you're almost like 10 years older than me, I want
to
say.
So right around that age to where the homies flake. And so you get there. What's up, man? Oh, can't make it. Got to stay with the kids, or the wife is doing this, or okay. So you've made the trip out there.
And I actually could have never made it. Actually, yeah. I just didn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens more often than you think.
So yeah, exactly. So now I'm out there, and I look like a jackass because, you know, my friends decided they didn't want to come today, and so that's another reason. You know, or you know, maybe just going through something. But when you're a regular by yourself, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I think gambling is one of those things. And
snacking on some chow mein at the food court while about to hit the blackjack tables, and I'll be here Monday to do it again.
The only time you should be gambling by yourself is if you're at a restaurant that has a machine or something like that, and you play the keno or something.
The video poker.
Video poker. You play something like that. They're placing bets on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's cool. But if you're going to the blackjack table every day, or not even every day, but just every time you go to the casino and you're just kind of by yourself, that is a little weird.
I mean, if you went once or like twice every two or three months, or like you went like once a month on your own, and instead of like you're going to the Costco to get away from your family, you say, hey, you know what? For a couple hours, I'm going to go treat myself. I'm going to play some blackjack. Like, I can see that, but that's 40-year-old guy as opposed to 80-year-old guy, which you're wondering. Honestly, when I look at that, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I hope that I still have my wife when I'm your age, because I'm not sure what I'd do, frankly. That's the only thing I think.
And I don't know if it was more so just, like, the food court in the casino, too. Like, I'm not a well-traveled man. The only casinos I have been to are A&A and then the ones I went in Vegas, but that was so long ago. And it was more so just, like, walking around. It's not like I was really... I couldn't gamble at the age I was at. So it was just very like, hey, let's just go hotel to hotel, check it all out. And, you know, but yeah, the idea of like a mall-esque food court in a casino, like over at A&A, they got the Michael Jordan Steakhouse and they got the Rockin' Brews and they've got all these different things. And then the food court is what threw me off. I just was not expecting that that vibe.
It's pretty standard. Like, you know, I worked at the Venetian and also worked at Caesar's Palace for a while. And there is obviously the really kind of upscale restaurants and things they have there, and then
like
the,
come get some Sbarro table.
But then you get to a point where you'll find the Sbarro and you'll find the Panda Express and you'll find all those like maybe three or four, you know, smaller things that people
that's how
can
you know the night
to.
Is not going well at the tables or at the machines.
Yeah,
you
got let's get the Panda well, Express. You
there's
know.
Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong when you're staying at like the MGM Grand.
Hot dog
Grand.
On a stick, ASAP.
Hey,
let's go.
Hot dog on a stick. Yeah. Give me some taco time. Yeah. Like some Schlotsky's Deli.
I need Annie's.
Schlotsky's. Oh, there you go.
There is nothing wrong when you're putting up because there is no way to do Vegas cheap now. Drinks are $30.
Oh,
the cheap
fast
hotels have disappearing. Exactly. So now, essentially, you're left with finding these food court options, which I will say I like better than like a buffet at a casino. I went to the MGM Grand right before the pandemic. They had a nice, like, you know, selection of really good restaurants, but then also something a little bit better for the budget in a nice food court area. And these local casinos now, they all used to have buffets even before A-Line got built. They've decided, no, we're not going to do it. It's just an antiquated style of casino. It's really catering to the 70 and 80 year olds only.
No.
The food courts are more for our crowd.
Oh,
and they
boy.
Should be.
I appreciate the food court, though.
I do
appreciate
too.
It because if it weren't there, then that means I got to go pay that $100 at Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
I can't eat that every night.
Or I got to go to the whatever the Japanese place is there, which all very good food, but can be kind of spendy. And maybe my budget doesn't call for this tomahawk steak tonight.
But boy, so, do I want it.
Yeah, I didn't say I don't, but yeah, it's just one of those things. So I appreciate the food court.
Boy,
yeah.
And I will say the demographic difference in between different areas of the casino, too, like the people that are playing the slots machines, a lot different than the people that are over at the sports books and that are playing the table games. Like, that
everything is very age appropriate, you know, when you get there, as far as you can tell.
I like
what
the slots, they're colorful and bright.
Bring a ding, ding, ding. And I guess there's like a.
I like the noises it makes.
There's a science term for it. Forgive me, I'm not that smart. But, you know, basically you get like a lot of all the feels from the sounds and everything that it makes.
It's an orgasmic experience.
Not orgasmic, but like it's something, triggers something in your brain that says, like, gotta keep doing this, gotta keep playing. Like, yeah, so those bells and whistles that those slot machines make, that's why old people and everything love them. I can put in pennies, I can put in quarters, what? I can play this all night?
It's
right up their alley.
It is wild how many slot machines were in that bitch. Like, also,
it's all slot machines. If you think about it, it's mostly slots and then some tables.
If you've been to A&A and seen the sports book, like basically when you walk in, you just need to hang a quick left and walk a little bit, and it's just right off to the left hand side. You don't really have to go through the hotel to get to it. And so at one point, I was done playing blackjack, and I was like, all right, let me go find sales bro Kurt and a couple other people and see where they're at. So I just started walking around seeing if I could like find them without having to call.
Good luck.
Not possible. Yeah. I ended up just getting lost in just a sea of slots. It was like ridiculous.
So it's honestly, it's why I'm glad a lot of my friends are tall and they're black as well. And so when I'm at A&A, they're much easier for me.
It's like
to
being
look
a white guy
find,
in a foreign country.
Like, it's just one of those things. Like, you know,
there
kinda,
he is.
Kind of stand out. Seriously, it's over there through a sea of people. Yeah. And being that I'm 6'3", like through a sea of people,
that
like,
helps.
Oh, there he goes.
But yeah, see, if you're friends with a bunch of tall bros, it does help.
Yeah, it definitely helps that most of my friends are tall. You know, very few of them are like short or like 5'10".
When we're hanging out next time, you'll lose me very easily in the crowd. I'll tell you that.
Man, we went to the game the other day and lost Jordan with the bathrooms.
Hey,
how did Jordan go?
Hey, I'm right here.
It's like, oh shoot, there he is. What's up, man?
It was a great time at A&A. Food and drink were had.
I'm jealous, man.
It was a good time at the blackjack table.
I'm jealous,
rubbing
too.
Rubbing it in, okay? Like I get it. I had fun.
I had a just great, a great comeback story. I was down to my last dirty dollar.
I was gonna ask if you won.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we came back and we came back hard. Like it was getting to a point where I'm like, dude, this ain't looking good. And the key, Rashad, was playing those little bonus bets that they have.
Mm-hmm.
The match up, match down. That got me back in it.
That's what's up.
It
man.
Got me
Let's
back.
Go.
One of them was like the dealer got blackjack, But because I had double aces and I did the match up or match down, I still ended up winning in that hand of being able to match their ace that the dealer had in their hand.
True, man.
And so
the light shined on you that day.
One of my best like moments of the day was when the dealer got blackjack. And then I ended up still winning and getting money for it. It was fantastic.
It's almost like Baccarat. Wow, good for
you,
buddy.
I was very happy. Baccarat is something that has been tickling my fancy lately, too. I've never played, but I've watched a few more videos on how to play Baccarat and how that game goes. And I was like, that might be something Daddy dabbles in the future here.
I mean, they had like 8 or 9 Baccarat tables there. So next time we go to A&A, it's an option. I've gotten into Pai Gow lately, but more so Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
My buddy was telling me that Pai Gow is one of the best games, easiest games to make money. And he's like, more often than not, you push. And I was like, you know, it's all about losing less.
Well, it's a perfect drinking game. You can sit for 2-3 hours and, you know, not really have too much money move. That's the nice thing about Pai Gow.
Yeah. He was saying he could have been at the Pai Gow table last time he went for like 8 hours.
Exactly.
Stick to the crap table. Do that. Do some roulette.
I don't know if they still do free drinks on the floor in Vegas, but that's a perfect way. Like, you know, you're sitting at slots, like, but you're still losing money. But like Pai Gow, you're pushing a lot. That's a much better way to drink for free. So,
all right, well, let's get to the madness now. I just again going to the casino. It's my annual casino trip. My sister and brother-in-law, they live out in Willamina, near Spirit Mountain. So I probably should be going there a little bit more, but again,
you should probably make your way back to Vegas at some point. You actually are you're a, I don't want to say an avid gambler, but you do play when you do go to the casino. You play enough, so I think it might be time for you to really take that grown up trip for you to Vegas, which is a super cheap flight from Portland. Not super cheap, but it's cheap enough from Portland to Vegas. $250.
You can get it for like 15,000-20,000 miles or points now.
Yeah. All Spirit Airlines, that bitch.
Spirit for 2 hours. Listen, if you're flying from here to Florida, probably don't want to fly Spirit. But for 2 hours from here to LA, from here to Vegas, you can handle it.
Jump on the big yellow bus.
Seriously.
All right, get to the madness next here on Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with Sports Center Update.
Oh, it's a beautiful mess, the March Madness.
It always is, man.
Man, it's such a captivating moment in sports, March Madness, where you could literally give two S's for the majority of the basketball season, and then this time of year comes around and you are just locked
Changes
in.
Your life.
Last 3 days, and including today, it's all that matters is March Madness.
Yeah. People plan to like get vasectomies this time of year just to not go to work.
Oh, I remember
Thursday and Friday. Like,
hell yeah.
It's that deep.
I don't know what the clinic is named, but there's one down in Eugene that had amazing radio spots back when I was in college. And it was like an announcer guy's like, guys, now's the time for you to step into the game. March Madness Snip City Special. Come get 2-for-1 or something like that. Like, that's the way great. That the dude was hyping it up, too. Like,
that's pretty.
It was, dude.
Bring your buddy in. You both get 25% off.
Dude,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, bud. What are you doing this week, man? You thinking about getting a vasectomy, to watch the first couple days of March Madness. You in?
I will say, though, that I don't know if this is just a personal feeling or if this is like how it was. March Madness a bigger deal like 15 years ago? Because I feel like, and I haven't talked to my son, but when I was in middle school, the Thursday and Friday of March Madness, it was like a thing at school where even the teachers would have the games up on their screen or on a TV in the classroom. In the gym, there would be a projector going all day that was airing games. So like if you wanted to just stop, like it's awesome. Didn't really seem like anybody was getting anything done, even when it came to the schools and the school system. And it was like, oh no, we know what this is. This is like we're doing brackets in the classroom with the teachers. And like my son, he just turned 12. He knows of March Madness, but the idea of like filling out a bracket and paying attention to college basketball, and this could just be a college basketball thing in general, is like, I loved watching college basketball at his age. I loved watching the tournament. And to him, it is such like an afterthought. So again, I don't know if this was more so a society at large, and our love of college basketball has, you know, waned a little bit and that less people care about it than before. Because, yeah, it's just the kind of the feeling or things that I've been seeing in my own direct personal life where it's like, I love it. I mean, I didn't even do a bracket this year.
Then that's what I was about to say. Like, we've gotten to a point to where we don't do brackets and it's like, oh, damn, we didn't even do a bracket. Like, it's one of those things that's not as important anymore. I mean, and we know why. And we want to make this a whole college basketball segment about why it sucks now. Nobody's watching. But, you know, it's hard to get behind kids that you don't know and teams that, you know, you don't know anything about. And so I think at this point they've kind of, it's been so overhyped and, you know, it's so overpublicized and so overly promoted at this point to where it's like, I don't really care. Wendy's does the thing now to where they're the college basketball, like fast food, you know, all of a sudden.
My observation from commercials and stuff on our other random note is, have you ever seen anyone drink a Coke Zero before? Because, man, college sports.
Everybody drinks Coke
Zero. Everyone drinks Coke Zero. I was like, I have never seen anybody ask at a restaurant, do you have Coke Zero by chance?
I'm that guy now, guys, unfortunately.
Like, so do you go Zero instead of Diet?
Yeah, I just go Zero. Like, man, if you have
it, tastes a little
awesome.
Better.
Yeah, if you have it, awesome. But no, you're right. It's a bunch of products that college students are definitely not drinking. I mean, they might drink the now. If it was a Gatorade Zero commercial, I'd be like, okay, like I could see kids,
Pedialyte,
you know, drinking that. Like, yeah,
no college students are drinking diet soda to begin with, or
at
anything
all,
like that either.
At all. So it's they're marketing to us, to older people, because we're who care about the bracket, and or if you're a college student or if you're a gambler, that's really who cares about the brackets. It's cool when like a school does them and stuff like that, like the staff or a teacher will give their kids brackets to fill out and everything. Like, that's cool. You can make it cool. I wasn't lucky enough to have college basketball or March Madness be a part of our high school experience. Like, no one cared. Get back to class, you know, at that point. And I was in high school, college basketball was like college basketball. There were names and stars and Dunleavy and the Duke teams with Shane Battier and all those guys. Like, those were my high school,
exactly,
you know, experience as far as March Madness. But it wasn't until we got older and filling out brackets became like a thing. And I want to say that was probably like mid 2000s, to where it was like, okay, now like filling out the bracket for everybody is like it's like this pop culture phenomenon now that we all kind of have to do once a year.
I just want to know, like, what's if there is any studies done with the Gen Zers, the millennial crowd, like
the young kids.
You know, again, is college basketball, is March Madness a thing to them? Do they give care about it at all? Is it as relevant to them as it at least was to me in my childhood?
You know,
and growing up in my teenage years,
I'm gonna answer that and say not for everybody. So I have a beautiful stepdaughter who is a sophomore at U of O right now. So U of O, obviously, huge football school. Basketball team in the tournament, 5 seed, you know what I mean? So
they play today, right here on 1080 The Fan, your home of the Oregon Ducks.
So there you go. But I asked her about it, and she was like, eh. Mind you, she's a hooper. She plays basketball in high school. She even plays for, like, intramurals. She played in the championship game for intramurals at Oregon. So she likes basketball, but it just has friends that play on the team. Who cares? Like, it's one of those things. Like, this generation, too, like, they, if it's not, they can't see it in 10 seconds, in 3 minutes, they don't care. Moving on.
It's not quite
moving
TikTok
on. Yet. So they don't really, you know, stick around long enough to watch a development. Unless your school is great, and Oregon was great at football, basketball, she was like, don't really. Doesn't move me as much. If it's between going to this party and going to this game, going to this party back at home here in Portland, going to this game, I'm probably going to go back home. And go
to
this game.
It's not the TikTok generation friendly kind of content, unfortunately. But I will say, like, when we were kids, I still remember, God, I was like 13, 14. It was a stupid decision to schedule like a school concert for choir and band on the Thursday for March Madness. So, like, they started it on the 20th that year. Like, why did we do this? And I'll never forget us sitting ready to go to the concert, like, with all of our TVs on. Everybody was watching those games. I do feel like people cared at that point. But it was more because maybe it was a local angle, and that included like a team of guys like for the Oregon Ducks, the Lukes, Luke Ridenour, Luke Jackson, that you could kind of care about.
Fred Jones.
Fred Jones, exactly. There were these group of like Chris Christopherson. They were around for 4 years. You could get behind a team. You could build that fandom, kind of like you're talking about with Oregon being a football school. At one point here locally, they filled up the pit. Like, it was hard to get a ticket to an Oregon basketball game, and I think you were able to, with those local fan bases, kind of take that interest into the tournament. And I'll never forget as a kid on a camping trip watching Oregon make the Elite Eight, you know, facing off against Duke and losing eventually, I think in 03 or 04 was what it was. But still, those memories like took me into being an adult as a college basketball fan. I guess the interest for the tournament is still there, but maybe all of our interest in the regular season has waned. Yeah. So, because as a kid, I watched a lot more regular season college basketball than I have now.
For sure. Duke, North Carolina came on. I have to watch this game. Like, this is going to be, that was Yankees, Red Sox. Like, there's no way, even, I don't watch baseball like that. But if Yankees, Red Sox is on, I'm going to watch this game. Like, I have to. Like, so, it's one of those things. Now, I just don't feel that way about college. And I think it's kind of my stepson. He's a freshman, a phenomenal athlete, football, basketball, whatever. Like, he's awesome. This college is probably going to be free for him, you know, at some point. I asked him, did you do a bracket? Nah. Why didn't you do a bracket?
They don't compete. Like, they're not. I like putting $20 on a bracket, and that would be the reason why I get interested in it.
Oh, he's a gambler. He's not supposed to, but I'm like, how are you placing bets? He's like, oh, my parlay didn't hit. It's like, what are you talking about? You're 15. What are you talking about? Your parlay didn't hit.
Nothing.
Yeah. Normally 15-year-olds can't get a group together and, you know, get into like a bracket pool for $20. Like, so like I could understand why they're not filling it out. Like, there's some juice for us when we do it. But and if I got nothing attached to it, I probably wouldn't fill one out.
Well, I mean, again, this is where I like, and again, this is just me speaking personally on myself, is when I was in high school, I was doing 3-4 brackets.
Yeah.
A tournament, no scratch on them, just to do it for fun, just so you could see how your bracket did and talk about it with your friends. Nerd. And what? Excuse me?
Huh? What?
Hey. About what? I love sports.
I mean, you're also here hosting a sports talk show, Joe, so it makes
sense. Yeah, it makes sense. That's that, you know, I could see that happening. See,
like,
know.
My sister, she probably ain't filling any brackets out, you know, but us, we care.
The dealer at our blackjack table on Friday, she had no idea what March Madness was.
Oh, God.
She was, you know, a middle-aged lady, probably late 40s, early 50s, somewhere around there. But we were talking to her, and she was from Chicago, so she was a Bulls fan. She's a, I don't know if she said if she was a Chiefs fan and or is, whatever, but that she had no idea what March Madness was at all, like the event even existed. So I had to explain it to her. I was like, this is, and I think this was her first year as a dealer at ALNA during March Madness. So she was just totally confused why it was so busy on this random day in March. And we had to tell her, like, this is, expect this going forward if you're here at ALNA in the future, because this is March Madness. This is what it looks like. It was popping.
There were some oblivious people at the tables, too, on Thursday. It seemed like there were a lot of older people that just kind of showed up to do their
normal. What the hell is going on?
And they just looked a little overwhelmed.
Pissed off that all these young people are here. Like, well, this is.
No, they were pissed off because they were losing, too.
Oh, that can definitely help.
I watched a lot of people walk away from the table.
I don't want to lose with a bunch of young kids around, either.
That's true.
Get into some more of the madness as far as the actual games being played. You can text your thoughts in to the text line 503-864-6326. That is the nothing text line, actually, right now. Glad I stopped myself.
It's my text line.
It is sponsored by no one, which if you're listening, yeah,
you could change that.
You could change that. I would love to have a listener just
possibly
pay.
You.
I would love to have a listener just fork over the money to be,
that would be so
a sponsor.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like Adopt Greg, a Road.
The Greg text line. Yeah. This is Greg's text line.
You see those highways that are like dedicated to like the, right. The Manson family.
Adopt a Road, yeah.
Exactly.
It's the Deal text line.
Let's do it, Deal.
503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6FAN. Get back to the madness here next. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
All right. Round two of the madness commences today.
It is a beautiful mess, though. Like, college basketball is so much fun to consume this time of year.
And it's so hilarious that the game is sometimes as messy and disgusting as it is, but still just entertaining as hell. Like the Arkansas-St. John's game yesterday is a perfect example. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. You had two legendary coaches coaching that game, Rick Pitino and John Calipari, which is funny because, you know, that was very, you know, in a sense, nostalgic for me because when those guys were coaching Louisville and Kentucky, that was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago or so. I forget when Pitino ended up leaving Louisville, but I mean, having those two coaches going against each other, but in different schools this time, that was really fun to watch. And then that game, Arkansas, the 10 seed, actually ended up beating St. John. So one of the higher seeded teams going down in the second round of the tournament. Again, it was such a beautiful mess because it, like, the St. John's fans just going crazy, very passionate.
I'm glad St. John's basketball is back, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
For now.
I mean, they'll take it.
Well, they're not back. I mean, they did lose. I mean, they got
a two seed. I mean, they were as a two seed. Like, that means that you were killing for most of the season.
Are they able to maintain it? You know, we'll see with Pitino. I mean, does Pitino end up leaving for something bigger down the road? We'll see. But, I mean, St. John's, Big East, you know, fun little program.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, I think St. John's at one point was a huge name in college basketball. Not so much in anything else, but in college basketball, St. John's, at least when I was growing up, was one of those ones.
But I say a beautiful mess because that, I mean, just that game, they combined, I believe it was 4 for 41 from the 3-point land. And I didn't even realize until after the game that that was the case. And I was like, you know what? I would have never guessed it was, you know, yeah, they were throwing up bricks and then what cracks me up is just the absolute chaos that ensues on rebounds sometimes. Mm. Like, it seems like there's just so much slapping and fighting and grabbing and ripping, trying to get a loose ball or a rebound that it is just, again, just pure chaos. It's just a beautiful mess because you're just, like, it is so frantic.
They let, like, 4 fouls go.
Yes.
Like, whenever that that happens. It's weird. It's like, you touch the guy on the arm when they're shooting. No, but diving for it, I can elbow a guy in the face and they'll let it go.
It is wild.
It's all clean.
And again, yesterday in that St. John, Arkansas game, 4 for 41 from 3, but I still had a great time watching that game.
I mean, it was fun to see the coaches. You're
dude,
right.
Dude, I mean, it was, again, I enjoyed that game even with the terrible shooting. And then in last night's games, I believe it was the Wisconsin BYU game and the Gonzaga Houston game. Both of the shots to try and either tie it or win the game. The guy for Wisconsin, he drives right and tries to put up a shot about like 10 feet on the baseline, airball. Like, terrible game-winning shot. I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's the best we could do. And then the Gonzaga, quote-unquote, game-winner that never was, actually, they got – it was just a sloppy mess where they ended up just turning the ball over and not even getting a final shot off. And Houston just stole it, and then they got fouled. And it's like, all right, well, this is over. I want to say there was a – maybe it was on Thursday, there was another game. I think it was on Thursday because I was watching games at nighttime. It was either UNC Wilmington or the San Diego game, but the team that shot up the final shot, just an ugly, like, but that is the best we can do. And again, it is one of those where it's like these games are so fun and captivating, but then stuff like that happens. You're like, oh my God, that's why it's a beautiful mess to me, because it's very fun and entertaining. At other times, you're just like, dear God, what is happening?
It's definitely a mess. I mean, it's college basketball is tough because it is very sloppy. And I think that's the hard part about watching it. You know, if we complain about the NBA and all the 3-point shooting and all the extra dribbling, all the, you know, whatever, college is just kind of like really scattered. Like, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. It's hard to watch. And so I think that's another reason why I'm just kind of take a knee on college basketball for a little bit, because it's tough to get through some of these games because it's very sloppy, because there are a lot of three-pointer shot and not a lot of them made, you know, from a lot of these young teams. So it can be tough. So really the novelty of the tournament is really the only reason I kind of pay attention to it. And if I'm being real, I've only been watching when I'm working out in the morning, like working out. That's when I was watching, you know, the most games. Outside of that, like I went to work and hadn't seen much, you know. And what I did see, it was like, okay, that was cool. I watched the I watched that Clemson McNeese game, that first one. Man, was like, oh shoot, like what an upset, right? Like, and then to watch them play hard against Purdue, I was like, okay, like I can get behind these small Cinderella schools, you know. But other than that, like, who cares? But you know, let's talk during the Final Four. I don't pay attention as much during the tournament, just because it is still very sloppy until you start getting to those last few, you know, at least eight teams. The Elite Eight is usually when I start paying more attention to what's
it is.
But at least at that point, like, yeah, at least at this point, like, I can knock out the, you know, watching the high points and watching, you know, Xavier and all those other schools that we know probably aren't going to go very far. At least now we can get to the nitty gritty of it with the Elite Eight. I can go from there.
You brought up high point again. And I think I saw it on one of the Barstool things or something like that. Apparently they have a ice cream truck on campus that is free to students.
Let's go.
Really?
High point
you. Like it's just a part of like the food and, you know, part of your tuition or whatever that it just, you know, they have an ice cream truck going around campus.
That's dope.
And then they have a steakhouse on campus free to students once a month. So you can go in once a month as a student and go to the steakhouse. Awesome. I don't know what the parameters are, like, you know, $200 limit or, you know, how it goes.
Probably like there's probably a set list of like a menu for those.
You
students.
Get the real bad cut of meat. Like,
yeah. You know, they give you a nice little 8-ounce steak.
Yeah.
Something like that. 10-ounce steak.
What's like the worst cut of meat that you can get as a, like, some grocery outlet steak or something?
Yeah. Like it's something like a Chuck roast or Chuck steak.
The bottom round is usually the worst cut of steak.
The bottom round.
So, like, there's just no fat on it and it doesn't have anything to make it, like, less lean. It's just not good.
Yeah. It's just gristly.
Yeah. No, you know.
Maybe that's what they're giving them for free. Yeah.
I mean, it might be steak bites, you know, something like that.
If they're sourced from A-Crop, then, you know.
Hey, man. A-Crop steak bites are goated.
Legendary.
They really are.
Man. They are a solid 2 seed.
I will concur.
And in the Portland food bracket.
That's what we should be doing, the Portland food bracket.
The Portland food and drink bracket. Because yeah. I know, like, if you were to include drinks, what's the Spanish coffee over at
Hubers?
Called? Yeah, that would have to be up there. That would maybe be a 1 or 2 seed. I don't know if you can come up with enough. I mean, there's definitely enough meals and food choices to make up 64, but 64, like, iconic Portland foods.
I think probably easier to go 16.
16?
Yeah.
Maybe like a screen door chicken and waffles.
Jack's chicken.
Jack's chicken.
See, by the look on your face.
Is that a sneaky 13?
That might be a 1. That might be a 1. You're talking Portland food? That might be that's a 1. No,
Jack's chicken?
Not might be. It's listen.
I've never heard of this Jack's chicken.
Listen, man. So before you head back home today, are you going to the Blazer game?
Later today.
Great.
Yeah.
So go to 9th and Alberta. Go to 9th. It's Alberta Street Market. It's at a store. It's a regular corner store, and they sell chicken wings. Not breasts, not thighs, chicken wings. That's JoJo's. That's a 1 seed, bro. You can ask around the community.
See, but again, I feel like that at large, how many people know about Jack's Chicken in the Portland community?
I think most people know.
And the burbs. You got to think of the whites here. I mean, come on.
I mean, we're talking Portland. So, you know, Beaverton, everything don't count. Beaverton, all that stuff. We're talking Portland eats. Unfortunately, sorry, Sherwood. Like, at this point, sorry, Wilsonville. You guys don't count.
Oh, right, like now. The fried chicken.
Oh, Wilsonville doesn't have any good options anyways, bro.
Well, the fried chicken and JoJo's at Reel 'Em In.
Where?
At Reel 'Em In.
Where's that?
That is off Division. Real divey bar.
Division
in like 24th, something like that. 22nd, I don't know. 24th in Division. But again, it's super divey bar. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what oil they're cooking that fried chicken in.
Sometimes that's what it be.
And sometimes you have to wait an hour and a half just for the fried chicken.
Oh,
like, you can be in a dive bar, you know, drinking, hanging out, but to get some chicken itself.
Yeah. Never heard of that place. Never heard of it.
See, I feel one like that things. That one is, you know, this is where you and I differ. Yeah. I am in the hipster. What?
part of Portland, where Reel 'Em In is at, and then Jack's Chicken is the sneaky 12 seed that makes a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, possibly.
Yeah, well, white people took over that neighborhood, too, that Jack's Chicken is in, but they left the store there, and so the chicken stands.
All right, we're going to take a break, get to some football stuff. Got some couple news and notes on football. Man, now I'm looking at all these different meals from around the city, and I hungy. I am very hungy now. The cowman guy from Nong's. I mean, what is it? What are they? Damn it. What do they call it with the chicken? They poach the chicken, I want to say, and then there's a sauce. Have you never heard of cowman guy from Nong's?
No.
I have not.
Oh, that's some young guy.
That
hey.
You're an idiot. That is possibly a one or two seed. Not even kidding. This is world famous.
Okay.
This is a staple of Portland, Nong's Cowman Guy. Yeah, I think we'd come up with 64 dishes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we might have to do that sometime before this tournament is over. We're going to have to come up with those foods.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's
we're gonna come up with 16.
If someone else can help us with that,
for sure.
If you can text into the non-sponsored text line 503-864-6326 with our iconic Portland dishes, then please do so. But we take a break. Get back to the program next here on 10 of the Fan.